Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Wednesday morning. This is hour number two. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We go to the NBA to open up this hour, as last night we saw the Los Angeles Lakers make a trip to the Barclays Center to face off against the Brooklyn Nets. The Lakers win the game 106-96 and cover for just the third time in 16 tries with both LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the lineup. The Lakers saw LeBron carry the load, 33 points in the victory. The Nets, Donnie, only one of the big three available. Harden, who played well, 33 points, and in fact, a 33-point triple-double. The Brooklyn side of this might be even more interesting than the Lakers side, but the Anthony Davis return was certainly a headline. LeBron continuing to be just unbelievable this season. Also relevant to the situation. Your reaction, Donnie, to this win upon AD's return for the Los Angeles Lakers?
It's a nice win. It is a nice win. And even if it came at the expense of you didn't get Brooklyn as full go, from a Lakers perspective, they don't care. They're a 500 basketball team. Mm-hmm. They're just looking at the stack wins at this point. And quite frankly, if you look on the schedule before the season, regardless of who's healthy or not on both sides, if they both came in healthy, that's probably a loss for the Lakers. So it's almost like he got one up in this environment. We also take a look at how we capped this game yesterday. There's one thing that we knew. James Harden was going to go off. And if he went off, it still didn't guarantee that the Nets would have a victory. Look at that line, 33, 12, and 11. Unbelievable performance. But remember, it came down to yesterday saying, you know what? Who's the key ingredient in this game? It's going to be Patty Mills. He's probably going to have to drop five or more three-point shots. Well, look at Patty Mills last night. 3 of 9 from three-point range, 15 total points. The Brooklyn Nets lost 106-96, which was 10 points. That line hovered right around a five-point number. So if Patty Mills theoretically drops two more three-point shots, you got inside the number. But I think we both agreed. It was just like almost like a Laker hate saying, hey, they just don't cover lines. It doesn't matter who they're playing, how many guys are sitting out. The Lakers will find a way, if they win, to not cover, maybe even lose this game outright. But looking at the rosters yesterday heading into that game, when the Lakers are right, meaning all guys available, it's a very good starting lineup and a very veteran and deep bench. And that showed up last night in a 10-point win in Brooklyn.
I think for the LA Lakers, right? Now, was this some runaway performance? No, not necessarily. You win by 10. You were up, though, 14 going into that final quarter. LeBron actually got to sit on the bench for at least the last 2 minutes of the game, which feels like it never happens this season. But really, maybe more than anything, Donnie, you're a team that does need a little bit of a confidence boost. And this was an important one, because you had way more going into the game than the Brooklyn Nets. And you should have beat the Brooklyn Nets, and you actually did. And it wasn't a fall out of your chair, heartbreaker, or, you know, sweat all the way through. You just comfortably handled your business. And that is really what matters here. The Lakers still getting some good games from guys off the bench. Malik Monk makes 6 triples. Melo came back, gave you 3 as well. But the reality for the Lakers is the star of the show is still the star of the show. LeBron James genuinely might find his way into the MVP conversation if people will be honest about what the award actually means. It's not as if Anthony Davis came back and changed the world here. 25 minutes, 8 points, and a -1 in his work. Russ also a -1, although -1 might actually be a win for the Lakers. We'll see how the rest of this East Coast trip continues and how Anthony Davis continues to mesh with this Lakers lineup. No other 5 in the lineup. DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, all of that stuff to follow. The radio audience enters the fold, and we appreciate all of you tuned in to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio across all the Sports Grid platforms here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donna Wrightside talking a little Lakers-Nets. Now, Donnie, the Brooklyn Nets. This is getting very, very interesting to me. Yesterday, we reacted to the report that the Sixers wanted to make a push for James Harden. And I'll be honest, hand up, said bluff from Daryl Morey, wants a better offer. And then, wow, basically Harden doesn't like Brooklyn. I don't know what the Nets can do to that. They're not going to relocate. And is tired of the Kyrie Irving part-time situation, which is probably the most important part of this puzzle, Donnie, is Harden is out there by himself in this game. They play again tonight against the Nuggets. He's out there by himself again.
Yeah, nightlife, right? That's what James Harden is very interested in. So if you're living in New York City, per se, there's a lot of things shut down. The clubs aren't open. But also, city life is a little bit different, Kevin, because you can still have a $5 or $10 million spread in New York City, but you're probably in a high rise here. Where you're down in Houston, you can live in the suburbs. Like, you can have a big palace mansion for $5 to $10 million. Invite all your boys, all your friends back, anybody from the club, and have your own club in your own house. Maybe he's just not liking where he's at this point. Says, you know what? I want to move on. And also, the Nets are 12-12 at home this year. Why? I don't know. Kyrie Irving can't play at home. He's probably frustrated with that as well. Not a lot of things going right for the Brooklyn Nets. They have the players to win a championship and, quite frankly, when all healthy, win it easily. But way too much turmoil, Kevin, going around the Brooklyn Nets. And maybe James Harden sees that and goes, you know what? I don't want this anymore.
Could it be possible that the Brooklyn Nets title window is going to close already after being plus 200 to open up the season with the NBA championship? Wild stuff. We'll close this out and keep it all rolling right here. This is the Early Line on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line, getting set to talk some postseason yardage leaders. I want to just make one final point. Within this hour, we'll not only preview college basketball, we'll get back to the NBA. We're going to talk Nets Nuggets. And if you want to try and understand why the Kyrie situation is a legitimate problem for the Brooklyn Nets now, not just this year, but apparently towards the future of the franchise, when we talk about that game, and it's, hey, how do you think Harden will hold up on the second leg of the back-to-back by himself? That right there is the issue with Kyrie Irving that is now being reported is bothering James Harden. Brooklyn never wanted to happen and very well can cut this team's title window in half and end it almost immediately, which is wild. We'll get there. The NFL postseason continues. Of course, want to talk about this each and every day, getting closer and closer to those full previews. Match specials becoming more and more available there. But one market that we've been following, Donnie, is the entire postseason yardage leaders. We'll go passing, rushing, and then receiving. And we'll start in the passing because there's only four left. And this basically seems to be over. It's Mahomes at minus 500 to lead the postseason in passing yards. Basically, the question is it worth taking a shot on anyone else in this market?
I don't know if it is because you're trying to take a look and play this out. So if we take a look at Patrick Mahomes, he's up 190 yards over Joe Burrow. He plays Joe Burrow this weekend. So if Joe Burrow throws for 200 more yards and loses, well, Patrick Mahomes still has another game to make up that difference. And then he has a 214-yard lead on Matthew Stafford. So if you figure that Matthew Stafford and the Rams are favored, they'll probably get to the Super Bowl. But again, they're going to go up against Patrick Mahomes. And is anybody expecting Patrick Mahomes to have a bad day against the defense of the Cincinnati Bengals, who are solid defense, don't get me wrong. But he just shredded the Buffalo Bills and shredded them late, shredded them early during the game. It seems to be wrapped up. And you say, oh, minus 500, I would never take that. Now, here's the caveat that you play into it, Kevin, right? Patrick Mahomes could have a bad game. They could lose. Then it opens the door. I understand. I'm not expecting that. But we've seen it before in playoff football. Patrick Mahomes rolls out, gets smoked, concussion. He's out for that game, and then misses the Super Bowl. So he doesn't even have a lead, you know, because they're going to lose the game. You can't really bet like that, but it still goes into the back of your head going, okay, minus 500 should be a lock. But we always remember, this is football, and nothing is a lock, A, to even win the game, but B, you can always get injured at any time. And C, Kevin, we see him running a lot more because it matters. Any one of those shots could knock you out of the game. But just from a statistical standpoint, I can't see Mahomes giving up this lead, Kevin. I can't.
And I think that's it's a good cautionary warning on laying the minus 500 on Mahomes. I really think the only thing I would probably throw out there, DRS, is Burrow at plus 600 a better bet than the plus 275 money line on the Cincinnati Bengals to win the football game? Like that, like, do you know what I mean? That's the one thing that I wonder there a little bit then, where you have, because Burrow then, if he does beat Mahomes, should then close as the winner of this award. Then, but like Stafford and he are not worlds apart, DRS, but that's how I kind of look at this all to me, is if you want to be creative, the argument on betting Burrow at plus 600 is it's kind of a money line ticket on the Cincinnati Bengals to beat the Chiefs, and that's basically an odds boost, Donnie.
Yes, it is, because also keep in mind, you know, the futures market, Joe Burrow can win this football game, get to the Super Bowl and lose, but still throw for 325 yards, which would be more than Matt Stafford probably has because you're probably salting the game away. So I do think that is a valid argument to make, where if you like Joe Burrow, he's, put it this way, 21 for 31 for 225, two scores and one interception. They didn't win the football game, the Cincinnati Bengals. You know the Bengals won this football game? Joe Burrow, 35 for 45, 380 and four touchdowns. That's how they win. So when you're looking for, you know, a process to move forward with, Joe Burrow, if the Cincinnati Bengals win the Super Bowl, he went ballistic in the AFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl. That's the only way. So if they're going to move forward in advance, it's going to be on Joe Burrow's arm. Good look by you. The 6-1, better than the money line, because there's a very slight probability that Joe Burrow struggles in the AFC Championship game and Super Bowl, and there's a party in Cincinnati holding up the Lombardi.
Transitioning to the most playoff rushing yards market, the only of the three here that does not have a minus money favorite. It's Eli Mitchell at plus 125. Cam Akers is plus 270. Mixon and Deebo Samuel, both plus 650. And then we start to enter that 10-1 range. Incredible to see Mahomes and McKinnon at 10-1. Donnie, is Eli Mitchell the guy here, or perhaps someone a little bit further down the board?
Which, who do you think is going to win this game, Kevin, right? If you think the 49ers are going to win this football game, that means, you know, Eli Mitchell had a very good game, and he already has the lead because he's up 38 yards here on Deebo, 46 yards on Cam Akers, and 47 yards currently on Joe Mixon. So if you think the Cincinnati Bengals get eliminated, that's going to take, you know, Mixon out of the equation. If you think Cam Akers is going to win this week, which I do, and then play in the Super Bowl, and also keep in mind, like, Cam Akers is going to go up against a pretty good defense here in the San Francisco 49ers. But if the Chiefs do advance, like we anticipate, or even, heck, the Cincinnati Bengals, there's a really good opportunity that Cam Akers can have a very good Super Bowl. So I think he will be live at that 270 price. But if you are out there thinking that the San Francisco 49ers win this weekend, plus 125 isn't a bad price. But then again, why wouldn't you just be looking on the money line as is here, Kevin, on the San Francisco 49ers just to beat the Rams and not worry about Eli Mitchell's big game this weekend and big game in the Super Bowl? Just take it out of the equation.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I have to bring up Mahomes, right? So let's say the favorites hold here, Donnie. So Eli Mitchell. Now, the thing about Eli Mitchell is he could possibly have enough of a gap between what he does this week between Mahomes to where Mahomes couldn't even catch him with the added game. But Donnie, Akers is only 5 yards in front of Mahomes this week. The Niners and the Rams played in that game, you know, right before the end of the regular season. Sony Michel was the lead back, right? But Cam Akers still got 5 carries. The two of them had 26 carries for 46 yards. Not great. If Mahomes, Donnie, could be in front of Akers going into the Super Bowl, 10-1, Donnie, is it ridiculous to bet Mahomes in this market?
It's not ridiculous. And here's some added layers for you. So I say, what dummy would take the quarterback to run? Well, hear this out and how it plays out. We're looking at Cam Akers here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 270 to have the most rushing yards in the playoffs. Are we forgetting here the last game he just played where he dropped the football on the ground twice and almost cost them it? So there's two trains of thought here, which I'm on the side of. Sean McVay grips the kid up this week in practice. Kid, I love you, man. You can't fumble, but you know what? You're our guy. You're going to lead us to a Super Bowl. I'm coming right back to you here. That's what a good football coach does. Or you could take the Belichick route or the Bruce Arians route and say, you fumbled twice. You're lucky if you play in the NFL anymore here. You're just going to the back of the line. So if you're under the advantage of saying, like, hey, there might be a chance where Cam Akers has a decent game, but late in the game, late third quarter, late fourth quarter, you're going more to Sonny Michel to hold on to the football. You can get one of those games where, hey, Patrick Mahomes rushed for 80. And it's not out of the equation because, again, we just saw him run for a lot. This is supposed to be a high-scoring game. If he gets 50 to 60 yards rushing in this game and advances here, and let's just say, like, one of the guys that you're betting on against him in the NFC is out, you're right. Like, there's a legitimate chance a quarterback and not Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson can actually win this, and it's Patrick Mahomes. That's a crazy price, but you can layer it where it might make some sense.
And to add to the Cam Akers, not even benching Donnie, cut the workload in half. It's not Mixon and Samaje Perine that we're talking about here. Sony Michel was the guy who got the 20-plus carries in the last game of the regular season against the Niners. Splitting the workload, maybe that just makes sense because Cam Akers not very efficient as the bell cow in that game against the Bucs. Mahomes at 10-1. Might have a little bit of juice. We'll close out with the receiving yards in our next segment and set you up for a fun college basketball board featuring some good Big 12 action and a lot more. You keep it right here. This is the Early Line on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In the postseason, the favorite is Cooper Kupp, and it's a minus 140 price. Tyreek Hill's plus 250, same number on Travis Kelce. Ja'Marr Chase plus 430, and then it's a lot of big numbers that follow. Now this, Donnie, not a minus number like Patrick Mahomes. Minus 140, that's bettable. Good enough, though, to bet, or maybe some plus money catches the eye?
I think maybe some plus money catches the eye. Now, if we think that the Rams are getting to the Super Bowl, that means Cooper Kupp probably had a really good week this week, and whether or not they win in the Super Bowl, he's going to get his targets and probably have a good week, so or a good Super Bowl. If we look at the breakdown here, right, Cooper Kupp has a 19-yard lead on Ja'Marr Chase. So if we're saying from a favorite perspective, this might be the last weekend of the year that Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. He has a 37-yard lead over Tyreek Hill, a 40-yard lead over Travis Kelce, and a 162-yard lead over Deebo Samuel. So Deebo Samuel rushing and receiving, he's probably out of it at this point here. Now, could he have a monster week? He's a great player. Yes, he could. Could he have a big Super Bowl? Of course he can, but he's a little bit too far down my list here because, again, you're trying to bet these games on what you think is going to happen this week, but also the team to advance to get yourself at least two more games. Cooper Kupp should be a minus 140 favorite, but I got to tell you, I look at Tyreek Hill at the plus 250 number because, as we said, he's 37 yards behind, which is a decent margin because Cooper Kupp is not a possession guy, right? He's not a, hey, five catches, 50 yards guy. He's a, I'm going to get 11 targets, 9 catches, a buck 80 and a score type of guy. So he could go off. But if I'm looking just from a Tyreek Hill perspective, you're going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I bring this up because to me, sometimes you're looking, Kevin, at overall defenses that you want to go up against. Probably want to go up against Kansas City's defense and Cincinnati's defense as opposed to going up against the Rams or per se, you know, the San Francisco 49ers. But looking from an overall perspective, I think Kupp should be the leader at minus 140. But Tyreek Hill has the ability that you saw last week where, hey, a little bit sleepy during the game. Oh, no, here we go, 70-yard touchdown pass. He has the capabilities, Kevin, to go into a shootout here versus the Cincinnati Bengals, and they can win 35-31, where he has 11 for 210 and three scores. So if I'm looking to take a plus money guy as opposed to the favorite in Cooper Kupp, it would be Tyreek Hill for me, Kevin, at the plus 250 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Tyreek has that game-breaking ability, Donnie. he has no chance if the Rams win. That's the issue that I run up against. Like, here's the thing. It's a 40-yard gap, right? And I'm not saying that 40 yards for what Tyree can do is insurmountable, but Cooper Kupp just came off a 183. Cooper Kupp against the Niners this year, 118, and then the other game was 122. Mm-hmm. Like, Donnie, the floor is 100 yards. That's the floor. And then you go to the Super Bowl DRS, right? And now what's Jalen Ramsey doing? Tyreek Hill? I know Mike Evans ultimately burned him, and Tyreek has that incredible ability. But, Donnie, Cooper Kupp, and he plays the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, the yardage props, 115.5. Like, the only problem is minus 140 enough value where I need to beat the Niners, and then I still do have to hold off to all universe players in Kelce and Hill? Probably not. So, I in an odd way, Don, like, it's almost like a pass for me, the market, in a very bizarre way. Like, that's kind of how I view it right now. But I ultimately think, I wonder, Donnie, if the market exists going into the Super Bowl. Probably not. But I wonder what a Cooper Kupp number would be going into the Super Bowl. I just don't think there's enough to catch him. Because, again, Donnie, like, to me, his floor is basically another 200 yards if they play another two games.
You're right. So what do you need out of it, right? Let's try to make the equation of saying, look, okay, as it sits right now, a 37-yard lead over Tyreek Hill, which is what Cooper Kupp has. Does he have to get close in this game? Does he have to get the lead before they get to the Super Bowl? Because if I'm looking from a betting perspective here, you know, talk about like jump in on the line. Well, the line actually should be more advantageous right now for Tyreek Hill to bet, because why? He's going up against the Bengals defense, right? And you see, like, Cooper Kupp's going to go up against the San Francisco 49ers, who is better. So do you need that gap to close wildly? Because if you get to a Super Bowl, and let's just say it's even, right? Take everything out that we've seen for the regular season and in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. What is that number of a head-to-head matchup? If you just line up Cooper Kupp versus Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl, and the odds are what? Is it minus 130 Cooper Kupp? Or do people have to say, no, I'll give the advantage here to, you know, Tyreek Hill going up? Because to me, you're right. If you're making it to the Super Bowl, both teams, let's just say Kansas City wins this weekend, Rams win this weekend, what defense would you rather go up against? Like, Cooper Kupp should be licking his chops going up against the, you know, the Chiefs, as opposed to the other way around. Yeah. Like, Jalen Ramsey, I'm not going to say, we're right, Jalen Ramsey's probably not going to go head-to-head with Tyreek Hill, but the Rams' defense is much better than the Chiefs' defense overall. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting price point that once you get to the Super Bowl, who actually is the favorite probably still should be Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, last point here, the Ja'Marr Chase plus 430 number really just reinforces the value on Burrow. You can't be betting Ja'Marr Chase at plus 430 and then leaving the Burrow 6-1 on the floor. Ja'Marr, they will need to win the game in order for Ja'Marr Chase to have the most receiving yards. I don't really see any way around that, right? Again, like, he comes into the week with a little less than 40 yards on Tyreek and Kelce. He's not doing enough this week, Donnie. Let's just say Cooper Kupp's eliminated, right? And let's say that the Chiefs win the game. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be able to put a gap between him and Hill and Kelce that they wouldn't catch him in the Super Bowl, right?
You're right, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good thought process behind it. But the good thing about it is you have some time to dissect all the stuff. But I'm just looking from a perspective of who has the best chances here. Because, like, Deebo Samuel's electric. Could Deebo have, like, a $160 receiving and really enter the equation? Yes, he can. But these bets are so much fun to talk about because you can't just say, like, boy, I like Deebo Samuel, or I think Ja'Marr Chase. You have to use the added equation of, do you just want the guy for one game or do you need those two games? Because you can see a world where Ja'Marr Chase catches 225 yards, a playoff record, and the other two guys struggle. Maybe say, hey, Ja'Marr Chase has a 90-yard lead going into the Super Bowl, which he's not even going to play in. Those are the equations that you want to try to look at. But for me, I still like to take it low and slow. Like, I need a guy that's going to play in the Super Bowl here regardless. And that's the way I try to play it out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It'll be fun to follow this tomorrow or Friday, whatever it is. We can talk about who will lead the weekend. Man, I had the Joe Burrow number lined up. 348 opening game. Felt good. You knew you were going into just a murderer's row come Sunday. And it was Stafford won it, and then Mahomes took it in the last game.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to break that all down. You've got some big names out there. And then, of course, Garoppolo is also a quarterback in the NFL. Transitioning to college basketball, We're actually going to open this up in the A-10 because we've got one game featuring a ranked team and what looks to be a pretty good basketball game with Davidson and VCU, but also a St. Louis GW game, George Washington, that Donnie picked out. And I'll make this point. I've made it before here on the show. I know I've made it on radio, and I'll make it a number of times. But DRS has a very It's for me an impressive way to watch him break down college basketball. You've seen it here on the show a number of times, but I know, and he's made this point, similar when we were doing the baseball season, we'll transition out of football and into the team total universe in college basketball. And I know it's been tremendously valuable for me to learn from all of that. So I would like to believe then for all of those watching and listening, they've taken a lot of value out of that too. It's a fun process to follow. It's a great learning exercise and seeing what lines up and what makes sense. Yesterday, we did an Illinois Michigan State breakdown. I had my, you know, nice little trends of what makes sense for some overs. Donnie gives a very thorough breakdown of an under. That game almost went to overtime and still wouldn't have cashed the over. It was a bang under. So it's a very valuable breakdown, but I don't want to cut him short on that St. Louis George W game. So Donnie, to open it up, Davidson VCU. Mm-hmm. Davidson, number 25 in the country, but only a four-point favorite here, as it's a VCU program that people know. You expect them in the tournament here. Two of the better teams in this conference overall. When you line this up, a four-point favorite for Davidson and a total checking in at 129, what jumps out?
Yeah, some of my favorite games over the years in the A-10 were between VCU and Davidson because you have that Bob McKillop team that's just so precise on offense and a helter-skelter defense in VCU because typically you come in every year. Who's probably the best defensive team in the A-10? It's going to be VCU. Who's the team that never turns the basketball over, gets every good look? It's typically Davidson. If we set the table in this one, VCU 11-6 on the season, Davidson 16-2. Both of these teams, Kevin, have played six games in conference play, 4-2 here for VCU, 6-0 for Davidson, 7-0 at home for Davidson here. 4-1 on the road, though, for VCU, which is a very good college number. If we take a look here also, three straight wins on the road here for Davidson, now returning back home. One of those wins, 63-61 versus VCU, which plays under the number. But let's take a look at what we like in this game here. In conference play, and finally, Kevin, we're getting to almost the midway point. By next week, we'll have enough data in here to make some really informed decisions. But taking a look this weekend, Davidson's defense out of 14 teams in the A-10, 11th overall. Effective field goal percentage on their defense, 10th overall. That doesn't hold up well. And also take a look at this. 13th out of 14 teams at defending the three-point shot. So if VCU can knock down three-point shots, they can hang around. But Davidson, the best overall team by a wide margin on offense. VCU number two defensively. That's where it's going to come down to. But we always know VCU loves to foul with their up-tempo defensive game. 14th in conference out of 14 teams at putting you on the foul line. Well, get this. Number two in the conference at getting to the foul line, Davidson. Number two in the conference at making free throws, Davidson. I think we get a nice high-paced game out of VCU, which maybe will push Davidson a little bit. As we saw the previous game, Kevin, go under the total. I'm going to take this game to go over the 129, and the factor being I'm going to get to the free throw line, I'm going to convert, and I just need some three-point shots by VCU to go down, and we'll get this total taken care of here.
Points, points, points. That's certainly what the people would love to line up. We've seen Davidson play 10 of their 17 to the over this season. A lot more college basketball to break down. We'll hit the NBA as well. Early line live on a Wednesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep things moving here on a Wednesday. St. Louis, the Billikens, against George Washington here. 12-6 St. Louis is a big-time favorite of 16.5. The total checks in at 141.5. Why are we talking about this game? Why not? There's a lot of options out there in college basketball. It doesn't just have to be the ranked games. But DRS, yeah. Tell the people, why are we talking about St. Louis, George Washington?
Sometimes, like, we like to take a look at advantages, Kevin, and so many times we talk about the top games of the night. Why? Because they're the most fun to watch, because they're supposed to be competitive with high-level talent. But sometimes those money makers, Kevin, are in the lower levels here. I'm a huge, I love the A-10. I think it's fantastic basketball from top to bottom, but also provides us with very good teams and very bad teams, which is where you can pick on some of these bad teams. Most people look at a game here, Kevin, between GW and St. Louis, and hey, game's close to 20 points. I'm not touching this one. Not necessarily the case. Let's take a look at the matchup tonight, which St. Louis is going to be home versus George Washington. Just setting the table simply here. George Washington, 6-11 on the season. How many previews have we done, Kevin, with teams way under 500? We haven't really done it, but there's still, as I said, some money that we think can be made here. St. Louis, 12-6 in conference play. Both of these teams, not great. 2-3 for George Washington, 3-2 for St. Louis. But here comes starts to come in the crux of the argument, right? 1-6 on the road on the season here for GW. Not a great home team just yet for St. Louis at 6-3. But let's take a look at the game itself and why I think it makes some sense to take a heavy favorite here. When you look at games and teams, Kevin, and you want to bet against them, you say they're getting a lot of points. What can they do well? GW in conference play, Kevin, they don't do anything well. There's 14 teams in the A-10. You know who's 14th in offense? GW. You know, how about GW's defense here? 14th, no. Oh, they have a much better defense. Yeah, they come in at 13th overall in conference play. So if you look at the matchups here, and I always like to talk about what teams do well, what they don't do well. George Washington is last in offensive efficiency in conference play. And here's the reason why, Kevin. They do nothing well at all. They turn the basketball over. They don't rebound. They don't get to the free throw line. They don't shoot three-pointers efficiently. They can't make layups, and they can't make free throw attempts. So if you come into this game and GW plays their average conference game, you're not going to get a lot of points. So conversely here, what are we looking at here from a St. Louis defensive perspective? Great on defense against a three-point shot, top three in the conference. Great inside the arc, Kevin, number two. So you're taking a look at a team that doesn't shoot three-pointers and doesn't make layups here, going against a team that can defend both of those. Where do I sign up? Now, let's take a look on the defensive side here for GW. As we said, 13th in conference. Absolutely terrible. Take a look at St. Louis's offensive efficiency number. Number two in the conference. What matches up well here for us? Offensive rebounding. They really get on the glass. GW doesn't rebound. We take a look at shooting the three-point shot here. They shoot it at 37%, talking about St. Louis. 49% inside the arc. 75% from the free throw line. So you don't even have, Kevin, a perfect night for St. Louis to get the job done here. And also, let's take a look at the last few games that we've taken a look here for St. Louis. You know, W's by 90-54, 63-45 at home. I'm looking for a repeat performance. Unless GW goes berserk on offense, which I don't think they have the capabilities of, I see a 20-point W here tonight by the St. Louis Billikens just by default. Again, keep it simple here. Horrendous offense. Horrendous defense. It doesn't add up. I'll take a big time scoring margin here from St. Louis to cover that 16-16.5.
Those big spreads out there for a reason. It's always fun also to kind of follow those big college spreads live and watch how they can play out. And I know we will be doing that, of course, tonight on In Play Sports tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern start time there. Two more college basketball games that we've picked out to discuss. I do want to make sure we get to the NBA. So I'll pair them up together here, DRS. You've got the classic college basketball, Oklahoma State, unranked as a favorite, hosting Iowa State, number 23 in the country. The thing is, we've talked about this quite a bit. Iowa State, as a dog, been tremendous. 7-2 against the number as a dog. They will be likely live in this game. Also, Xavier, 21, an 8.5-point favorite against number 17, Providence. Tell me, Donnie, anything about either one of these games jumping out to you early looks?
Yeah, it's interesting because Iowa State, you know, and Oklahoma State should be a good basketball game. When you take a look at two teams that you expect to be good, they're not very good from the offensive perspective here. Iowa State, 8th in the conference in efficiency. Oklahoma State, 9th. And keep in mind, there's only 10 teams in conference. So just about everybody is better than these two teams. But if you're looking from a perspective that you think can win by, Oklahoma State has a much better defensive profile here. And also, sometimes it comes down to both of these teams on defense, Kevin, love to turn their opponents over. But here's the difference. You're looking looking at a turnover percentage from the Iowa State Cyclones, they're seventh in the conference on offense at turning the basketball over out of 10 teams. If you look at Oklahoma State, they are third. So if we take a look at the two best teams in conference at turning opponents over, sometimes you want to take the team that's going to turn it over a little bit less than the other one. But not a lot to be desired here. From three-point shooting, Oklahoma State shoots 30%. You take a look at Iowa State, 26%. But sometimes it just comes down to some of those smaller factors and laying it with the home team. I'll take Oklahoma State here. Give me the -3.5 points here for a home victory for the Cowboys.
I think it'll be a fun game to follow. Again, Iowa State is just, it's an odd team. It's one that I've been complimentary of here on the show because they constantly get lined up in that, auto fade spot and then constantly end up finding a way to cover. Obviously, their most recent performance against TCU was a big letdown and likely a big-time reason why the number looks the way it does tonight against the Cowboys. Good college basketball action, but I want to get into some of the NBA, and I certainly want to bring up, Donnie, this game between the Brooklyn Nets and the Denver Nuggets, because this game, look at this line. The Nets, the Denver Nuggets are on the second leg of a back-to-back. Yes, I know the Nets are, but that means it's even. They're hosting a Denver Nuggets team, Donnie. It's about 500 on the season. A little bit better now, putting up some better results here. But a 500 road team, okay? And the Nuggets are favorites in the game. Why? Durant injured. Because usually one of the Nets' big three is injured. And Kyrie not playing because he can't play at home. I'll tell you this. I almost wonder, Donnie, do you just grab Denver right now? And Harden says, you know what? Kyrie doesn't play? Cool. Me either. I'm out. I'm not doing this here. And this line closes 6-7-8 for Denver. That's one early approach, Donnie. But any thoughts here as Brooklyn is now a home dog for the second day in a row?
Yeah, because we're taking a look at this game overall and seeing what makes sense. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Usually sometimes you have a big three, they'll rotate games where they take those nights off saying, okay, you get a rest tonight, still got the big two out of here. You get the rest tonight, still have a big two out of here. That's not going to happen. And keep in mind last night, you had one of those games where NBA teams like to get up for certain teams. That's not to say like, hey, we're not going to get up for Denver. But the Lakers are in town, big game. James Harden says, I'm going to play 38 minutes, go nuts, 33, 12, and 11. And we're going to lose by double digits. So if we come into this game and say to ourselves, well, I can get that same exact performance from James Harden tonight and get the same exact performance from everybody else, they probably still lose the game. Like, what is going to propel the Nets to win outside of Denver just saying, I'm really tired and we're going to rest Nikola Jokic and we're not going to show up here? What gives you an added interest to say, tonight is the night I'm going to back the Brooklyn Nets once again? Because you didn't see last night James Harden play 24 minutes and not play well and they lose by 10 points. Oh, Harden's going to give it his all at home court tonight. He should have a big night. Harden had as about as good a game as you can possibly have, and it still throughout the night felt like the Brooklyn Nets technically weren't competitive here. So I'll leave it on the table and say, unless Patty Mills goes 7 of 12 from three-point range, I don't think the Brooklyn Nets can win tonight either, Kevin.
Yeah, ultimately, the number that's not posted yet that I want to see posted, James Harden points prop. Harden has – the number should be – 28.5, 29.5, especially based on last night. He has not been over that mark in any of the games that he has played on the second leg of a back-to-back. Three separate occasions, Donnie, he has scored 14 points on the second leg of a back-to-back. I'll fade Harden off the good game on that second leg of a back-to-back. Not fresh, not ready to roll against this Denver Nuggets basketball team, who, by the way, not been good without rest. But neither is Brooklyn, and Brooklyn never covers at home. The fact that the favorites to win the title are set to fall under 500 at home at the midway point. Yes, the Kyrie stuff is a big time issue. Moving forward, though, I always kind of smile when I see the Bulls and the Raptors lined up because it reminds me of a couple of futures that Donnie and I have played that are actually going well. The Bulls to make the postseason that Donnie bet is obviously going unbelievable. Toronto, after giving me headache after headache, actually now above 500 at 23-22. The Raptors on the second leg of a back-to-back have one of the more outrageous trends on the second leg of a back-to-back. 6-1 against the spread in that situation, and 5-2 straight up. And also, if Fred VanVleet returns, he didn't play in that last game. So he'll be fresh. I look at this, Donnie, and I think to myself, take the 4.5, take a look at the money line. The Raptors are live going into Chicago.
Yeah, this should be a good one, and rightfully so. Like, you take a look at the Toronto Raptors, where I know you were like, oh, man, I can't believe this team total. They're blowing too many games at home. They're a good basketball team when they're healthy. They weren't even technically healthy yesterday because Fred VanVleet, you know, the highest usage rate on the team where you expect him to make 5+ 3-pointers and be your lead dog. Soon as he goes out, they can't win. They flipped from a favorite to a dog and won outright easily yesterday. So now the back-to-back night, but you're right. Fred VanVleet back in the lineup. So still should have Gary Trent Jr. and Anunoby, Barnes and Siakam in the lineup. That's pretty good here, but also from a Bulls perspective, you know, Dosunmu, LaVine, DeRozan, Brown, and Vucevic, that's not too bad also. And also, IU stepping up big time here in the absence of some other starters, particularly Ball. But what do we like here? Again, DeMar DeRozan should be back in the lineup. The 218.5, not a bad price, maybe looking at points, but if you're looking from a three-point percentage tonight, if you're looking for points, rebounds, and assists, you know what was great to see? Zach LaVine just didn't come back, Kevin, and ease his way in. He eased his way to a 20-plus point effort. So if we're expecting maybe more minutes here, maybe we get points along with that as well.
Yeah, it certainly could line up that way. It's a good props game to follow, whether you're doing the three-point prop parlays, LaVine kind of working his way back in. DeMar should be available. And DeMar against Toronto, narratives line up there. It'll be a fun game in that perspective as well. The Knicks will host the Miami Heat in a primetime game. The Suns and the Jazz are running it back in primetime, but the Jazz still very banged up. But I actually, Donnie, want to go to Cleveland and Milwaukee. This is a game right now where the kind of battle for the Central Division that nobody really anticipated has some ramifications. Milwaukee lays 4.5 in Cleveland here, DRS, that 217.5 total. This little measuring stick game here, like, if Milwaukee is right, they should be fired up, maybe prove a point to the Cavs tonight.
No, you're right. And you talk about Darius Garland here. You're coming off those win against the Knicks. It's a team that's up and coming here. And when you talk about those measuring stick games, Milwaukee is just going about their ho-hum effort. We're about championships. We won one last year. Let's get through the regular season. But younger up-and-coming teams, circle the calendar on these games saying, we got these guys at home. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can pull off the upset victory here. 4.5 seems like a short number, which means Cleveland should be a live dog in this game tonight.
Big games equals big performances from Giannis. He has scored 30-plus in 4 of his last 5. His number is 27.5. The one exception where he didn't go over for 30, gave you 27. The Giannis points prop looks live tonight. Listen up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Last segment of the day here for a Wednesday on the Early Line, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, as always, setting the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to the morning after. And Ben Stevens, I want to talk Antonio Brown, so you better listen up. All right, the Antonio Brown saga continues today, and as every day until maybe next year, maybe never ends for us here, but always giving us those added opportunities to revisit exactly what happened in the Meadowlands when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers star wide receiver took his clothes off, per se, and ran off the field and peaced out the crowd. Maybe we see him again, maybe we don't. But now, making the rounds, typically, you like to get ahead of these such issues here with your lawyer, with your agent, and your player. And we're seeing Antonio Brown make the rounds on podcast, and yesterday came on HBO and told his side of the story. But sometimes when you go on and try to get ahead of it, maybe you even get more behind. Just a bizarre interview where now we're finding out that Antonio Brown possibly is going to sue the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because of his mental lapse. Let's take a look at what happened in the past and how we can equate it to the future. Look, Terrell Owens was certainly a crazy guy per se off the field, but brought it on the field and eventually made the Hall of Fame. Most people looking at Antonio Brown's career, possibly a Hall of Fame trajectory, now derailed because where is he going to play and is anybody going to want him? He seemingly wants to be on the Baltimore Ravens. Not sure if the Baltimore Ravens want him, but tweets coming out here by Lamar Jackson say, hey, look, this might be a good opportunity. But when we're talking about heading to the press and righting the ship here, Antonio Brown seems to be doing more damage than good right now when trying to make amends with the NFL. Hey, I didn't want the football. That was a complete lie in the locker room. I came out. My ankle hurts. I couldn't play. Bruce Arians threw me off the sideline. There's so much more that meets the eye. But the history of Antonio Brown proves he's probably lying and probably did everything the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are saying. Make sure you guys stay tuned here to The Morning After with Ben Stevens over the next 3 hours right here on the grid for the early line. See you tomorrow.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.